Hello, hello, and welcome in to the PHNX Suns VIP Lounge, brought to you as always by our friends at DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I'm Lindsay Smith, and I'm joined by Saul Bookman and Gerald Bourget, and the Phoenix Suns defeat the Indiana Pacers 112-94, and we are hanging out in the VIP Lounge once again. It feels good to be here. How do you guys feel?
A win is a win, and this one was a kind of fun game to watch, to be honest with you. It had its moments where it kind of sucked, but for the most part, I was like, oh, this is a pretty good game.
Yeah, that was a really fun game for a multitude of reasons. We'll get into all of them, but DA and Book both showing out, and we got some nice little auditions on the Pacers side, and the Suns bench really came to play when it mattered in the fourth quarter, so I mean, a lot better than we were kind of expecting heading into this 5 p.m. early start Friday game.
Yeah, this is a good way to end your week. Wrapping up a Friday with the Suns W. Again, 112-94 was the final score. Before we get into everything, let's just go straight to the bar. And tonight's drink of the game is whatever you're drinking, we're making it a double because Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton showed out tonight. Like, kudos to those gentlemen. Shane, where's the clapping sound when you need it? You know what I mean? Yay! Thank you, Shane. Are you guys drinking anything tonight on this lovely Suns win Friday night? What you drinking?
I got a double of this fat-free water right here.
Straight vodka, same.
We're so lame on this Friday night. Oh, three waters.
Listen, I gotta hit the road early in the morning tomorrow. So it ain't no drinking for me tonight.
Hey, that's fair. But all right, let's get into it because it was a fun game. You know, they started off, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton started this one off hot. They had the team's first 19 points of the game, 19 of their 23 total points in that first quarter. We got to see a DeAndre in three. Did you get a little fist pump in there when DA knocked down that triple?
Yes, always.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Anytime he hits a three and anytime he can show that he has that versatility, just to remind you, like, hey, I can do this. I'm always going to be down for that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Hey, listen. Listen, I'm going to DA stand right now for a second, okay? My man had 21-9 in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then it was like Devin Booker was like, "All right, that's enough. I want to shoot now." And so Devin started shooting like all the shots, and I was like, "Give my man the ball back." He's like, each time he touched it, it was an automatic bucket down low, and it was just, I was like, this is what I talk about when we're talking about, like, ball handlers like DA or like Devin Booker have more control over the game than DA. So when people get upset about the fact that DA only had 12 and 14 or something like that, it's because sometimes they limit his shots. We've talked about this before. And even in the playoffs, it's like he'll have a good quarter and then it's like they forget he exists. Like, and no, I'm not bagging on Devin Booker because of this, because Devin, you know, he had a great game in the second half for sure. But damn, man, I would have liked to see more DA touches to get him to rock a little bit more because he was playing so well.
All right. I will agree with you to a certain extent on this one. Cause he only had, what do you have, six in the second half? Six in the second half, and it was only in the third quarter. So I get what you mean, but like Book had 22 in the third. Like, he was going off. You feed the hot hand. Like, they wrote it in the first half, which is something they do a lot. And then his second half usage, I mean, it does plummet a lot of the time. I think in this case, it's okay because Book was going off, and then they had Campaign and Landry Shamet come in, and they actually did some stuff in the fourth quarter. So that was nice to see. But I get what you mean, because like, he has 21 at half. And you're looking at his career high of 33, and you're like, okay, this is one of those nights where, like, nobody else has it going. Like, even Book at the half was 3 for 10. So it's not like he was lighting it up in that first half. But then he did in the third quarter. So I'm not that mad about it. I think if it had been a closer game, you would have seen DA get more fourth quarter touches. But just because they blew it open with the bench guys, of all people, I think that's probably why we didn't see much of him down the stretch.
From an efficiency standpoint, I would like a little bit more DA, because it did take Devin Booker basically seven more shots to get eight more points than DA. And like, he has full control over that. You know, DA does not have full control over how many times he touches the ball on the offensive side of the ball. And it's unfortunate. That's why I just wish, you know, I wish my man would have got the rock a little bit more, because he was, you could tell he was feeling it. You could tell he was in a nice groove. He was feeling himself. He was aggressive. You know, he was clapping at the defenders or even at the refs for not making calls when he thought he got fouled. Like, he was into the game, and this is what we always clamor for when it comes to DA. Like, and so when you see that, you gotta feed the beast. Feed the beast. It's like my dogs out here. You know, when they do something good, you gotta reward them. And when DA is doing something good, you got to reward him. Otherwise, he's going to be like, man, fuck this. I'm hustling up and back and down the court, and I'm going to get rewarded? Nah, son. All right, I'll go back to, I'll play when I want to, DA.
I mean, I get you, because DA, like, throughout his entire career, what's the go-to phrase for DeAndre? He's such a selfless player. He sacrifices so much. At some point in time, you gotta give him something in return. That's like, hey, we recognize this. So when you're having a game like you're having, like, we're going to get you that 30 piece. We're going to get you that career high, because why not? Like, if you're doing it, you deserve to have that time. You know what I mean? That glory, absolutely. Especially in a time like this. Angad in the chat said they really wanted DA to get that 30 piece tonight. And that would have been super fun. He just needed one more three. That's one more three. You would have made it.
Yep, that's it. You know, I also, Gerald, you're going to love this take. I loved me some Jalen Smith and DA on the same side of the court playing the high-low, baby. Loved it.
I almost.
Every single time that happened, DA scored. Give it to me every night. Let's go.
Oh boy,
Gerald, are you coming around a little bit? Are you seeing progress?
Come on, Gerald, get on the train. Let's go.
He had a goose egg. He was 0-for-4.
He doesn't need to score. Like, Chris Paul didn't score like shit until the fourth quarter, and that was when, because he was like, "Oh man, I only have 2 points. Let me go ahead and shoot these real quick."
I'm not. I'm never going to turn on this one.
I need you to think about it like this, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say they make a trade for like Serge. Or who's the other guy from the Clippers? I'm forgetting his name. Batum. Okay, mm-hmm. Now replace him with Jalen Smith. Now you got something. You got the high low going right there with two bigs. Yeah, like, that's what you want to see, baby.
Yeah, because you got guys that have the right skill set for that spot.
Jalen Smith can shoot the three.
Oh yeah, he can shoot the three. He just can't do any of the other four things, like on the defensive end. That's all right. No, it's not. You don't want him at the four.
Yes, you do.
We got to get off this topic because this is a good night. Right. We don't want to ruin the.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna keep going quarter by quarter. So we kind of touched on the first quarter. In the second quarter, I feel like the theme of that quarter was, "Hello, I'd like to buy a bucket, please." But thankfully, the Suns did close the quarter on an 8-0 run, and they finished the half 47-38. So any thoughts on that, or you kind of just want to gloss on over that one?
No, we can gloss on over it. I just love the fact that, again, D.A. Forced one of his guys to go to the basket, and then Jalen Smith cleaned that shit up at the wrap up the half. That's a dynamic duo. I'm telling you, that's the Twin Towers part two. Let's go.
That was a broken play, a fast break. It doesn't matter.
Gerald, didn't you tweet about it too, that you loved at the end? DA added an extra little smack on the ball just as a out of here. That was fun.
That has nothing to do with Jalen.
No, but it was before,
but I did love that.
Teamwork makes the dream work, baby. Let's go.
I loved it because he just like spanked the ball like bad. Like, my guy got you supporting his teammate. It was pretty funny.
And then in the third quarter, it was, you know, a little bit of typical Suns fashion. Third quarter, they held the Pacers to 38 points in the first half, but they allowed them to score 38 points in the third quarter alone. But thankfully, Devin Booker was being Devin Booker. He knocked down 22 points in the third, a season high in a quarter, and his 16th career 20-point quarter. So kudos to that man. He showed up and reminded everybody why Devin Booker is Devin Booker. A great time to do it.
Yeah, I just love when he gets that look in his eyes. You can just tell, like, the body language changed. I don't know who he was talking to in the right-hand corner, at least from when you're watching on the screen. It was like...
We'll get into that, song.
Every okay, because he was chirping at somebody. I was like, who?
Oh.
It can't be a... It wasn't the mascot. I'm talking about,
Are you talking about the fan? Somebody... Kellen pointed out that there was a fan that he kept going back and forth with.
Yeah, he was going ham on that dude. I was like, dude, you should not have lit the fuse on Devin Booker because he is giving it to the Pacers right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. And the degree of difficulty on some of those shots was just insane. Like the corner three that he hit that was super contested, that one shot he hit going down the lane near the end of the quarter that he like double clutched in the lane and just floated it in for the and one. Like he was hitting some ridiculous shots. And it was good to see him bounce back because that was, you know, three games before he hadn't shot well in any of those. So he was due and he made the most of it in that third despite starting like 3 for 10 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then in the fourth quarter, the Suns started the final frame on a 16-2 run, kind of really put the Pacers away. Chris Paul turned it up, knocking down 10 of his 12 points in that fourth quarter. So good to see Chris Paul out there contributing a little bit and having some fun too.
Yeah. Like we were just talking about this last week. Remember I said, it concerns me that Chris Paul didn't seem to have that bounce anymore. And then last game, saw it a little bit more. And this game, listen, whenever he pulls the old okie doke on somebody,
you know,
he's feeling good. You know what I mean? And even he, you know, sometimes, you know, Gerald, you play ball, and Lindsay, I'm sure you've played ball before. Like, sometimes you do a move and it just works out to perfection. You're like, damn. I just did that. And that's exactly what happened to him. Cause as soon as he made that, he even went back, he was like, oh my God. I didn't even know I was capable of that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. He busted out like the mini Sham God. I don't think he was expecting to do that to him, but God, that was just not nice. That if DA's first half performance hadn't put all the stupid Sabonis trade buzz to bed, that move just destroyed what was left of it because he absolutely annihilated him on that dribble. It was
also
insane.
Also, you know, Gerald Lindsay, you guys were there DA's rookie year when they faced the Pacers, and Sabonis got the best of DA. Like he absolutely got the best of DA. He was stronger than him, he was smarter than him, like he out-finessed him, like the whole package. Tonight you see the growth of a guy that went from his rookie year to his fourth year now. And how far he has come as a player. You know, at one point, I think Sabonis got a foul, but DA and him were like slamming each other in the paint, like just, and DA was not backing down. And DA even got salty to the ref, like, really? Like, we're going at it like this, and then you're gonna call some bullshit foul? Like, no, man. I just love the way DA has developed over the years. He's just grown so much in the last year and a half, and people need to recognize it.
No, I completely agree. It was insane. It was a great performance, and he absolutely got the best of Sabonis in pretty much every category if you look at the stat sheet, and especially if you just watched the game. Like, he was a force on both ends. Really fun to see that, especially against a guy like Sabonis, who is a two-time All-Star, talented guy. Like, if you want to talk about making an All-Star case, this wasn't maybe the career high that would have really put a stamp on it. But I think this is the type of performance that if people are paying attention, you look at that and go, yeah, that dude he deserves All-Star consideration this year.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and name our draft king of the game, because we've been talking a lot about them. Yes, that's right. It is a double tonight. DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker are draft kings of the game because they combined for 62 points, 16 rebounds on 23 of 43 field goals. Like, my goodness, these two guys really put the Suns on their back tonight and made sure that they got the W.
I like the 16 rebound part. 16 rebounds. We won't worry about the fact that DA got 12 of those.
Yeah,
16 combined.
Oh, Devin also got 22 of those points in one quarter. So, yeah, it's a group effort. It's a group effort. The two of them really did show up big time tonight. And you've been talking a lot about DeAndre Ayton. So let's focus a little bit more on Devin Booker, give him a little bit more love for tonight's game. I kind of mentioned earlier that I think, Gerald, you were the one who actually mentioned tonight a key player you wanted to keep an eye out on was Devin Booker and just kind of him getting back to Devin Booker ways. Do you feel like this was the game that could kind of launch him back into the rhythm of elite scoring and just making big clutch shots and tough shots consistently?
Yeah, I think so. And it's good that he kind of had that rough first half, because I think that shows even more that he's like, he was due. I hope that he can ride this momentum, especially against, you know, we've talked about this on the last show, like the Suns' upcoming opponents on this road trip are not great. Like they've got the Pistons after this, I think. They've got like the Spurs and the Mavs, like those are all mediocre or losing teams. So this would be a great time for him to kind of get in more of a scoring rhythm, ride the momentum of that third quarter, which was one of the best scoring quarters of his career. Like, this is the type of thing you can build on, especially after a rough stretch over the last week or so. And with guys being back and being more conditioned, like we saw it from DA tonight, he looked a lot. He just had his wind with him this time. And I think that was part of what helped him shrug off the last two games as well. Guys are back. They're healthy. They're conditioned. Now everybody's in their normal spots again, finally. So I think you can ride that as a team and individually. The rest of the Suns missed a lot of shots, but if those fall, this is a very, very dangerous basketball team.
I don't need to give Devin Booker any more love than he already gets.
Yes, you do, okay. Saul. Yes, no. You do. Give that man his flowers.
No, he had 22 right in the third quarter. Fantastic job, Devin Booker. That's what superstars do. You played like a superstar tonight. Let's carry on.
Okay, listen. Jesse Friedman in the chat brings up a really good point. He said, the Suns have the best record in the NBA. I take that for granted way too often. Enjoy every moment, fam. And that's perfect for Saul, how I feel you should feel about Devin Booker. But not just you, really all of us. I'm singling you out because you gave me grief about giving Devin a little extra love tonight. But all of us.
No. You were like, DA got love. Let's give Devin Booker love. Like, we never give Devin Booker love. I'm like, no, we love Devin Booker every show.
Andre a lot. Let's give DA a little bit, or let's give Book a little bit more.
It's because DA needs all the love. Because there's so many more haters for DA than there are for Booker.
This is very true. But still, I do think Jesse brings up a really good point that and oftentimes also,
Jesse's
we
covering the worst team in baseball. Of course he says we appreciate the best team in basketball because he knows how bad it could be.
We do too. That's what I'm saying, though. For the last decade, we have had to endure some awful stuff. So we should just take a moment, a moment of silence to be thankful for what we have.
Moments of silence.
Hold on, everybody bow your head. Okay. No. Nobody appreciates what the Suns are doing right now more than me. I promise you that. Like, I love the fact that we're talking about championship-level basketball with this team. That's what we're here for. I think last year the run kind of caught everybody off guard. They were excited about it. Very excited about it, but it's kind of hard to soak it in when it happens kind of all of a sudden, you know, like it took until the sweep of the Nuggets for everybody to realize, oh shit, is this about to happen? Like, for real? Like, you know, and so that next like 8 weeks was just like the best 8 weeks ever. Right now, it's like a slow kind of process. We understand that this team is good. We understand this team has championship aspirations, and it's great to watch every single night. That's why we can nitpick about stupid shit like who should get more love tonight, DA or Book. You know what I mean? Like,
we are very privileged from a basketball watching standpoint right now. But the one thing that I do want to note, to Jesse's point about the Suns having the best record in the NBA, is they widened the gap a little bit tonight, because now they are two games up on the Warriors. Thanks to this win in Indianapolis. So that's
Chicago.
Great.
Chicago won, right?
Let's check here. Oh no, the Warriors are up by. But if they had lost tonight, it would have been down to one game instead of 1.5. So I really think if you look at the hierarchy of the West, like Utah and Memphis are going to be swapping, but you don't want to be in that 2-3 spot with, you know, the Warriors or the Jazz or the Grizz. I think you want that one seed. You want to have home court advantage throughout the West. and you want to avoid whoever winds up finishing above each other between that Jazz Grizzlies duo there. So getting the one seed is big, and if they can widen that gap, that's huge. So every win like this, that's a big thing.
Listen, I think tonight also kind of proves, like, yeah, Chicago's a nice, fun little story, but let's be real. Nobody in the East is the beast that the West is. You might give it to the Nets and the Bucks, those two. Outside of that, nobody in the East can be anybody in the West in an NBA Finals. It's just not happening. That's why I think everybody's kind of focused on those four teams specifically, but mainly focused on the West, because the West is the best. It just is.
Mm-hmm. West Coast, best coast.
There you go.
Just to be clear, I wasn't stating that we should be like giving Devin his flowers and not DeAndre. I just wanted to make sure we were giving both of them.
Did somebody flowers. Say that?
Chris said, you know, DA and Book Love are not mutually exclusive. And I just want to make sure that it was that I love both of them equally. So, yes. Anyway, Brian in the chat said, Booker is back and the beanie is back. Coincidence? I think not. Maybe I should be wearing the beanie more often. And then some, you know, everyone in the chat is kind of asking for somebody to fill in for Espo tonight with his yell about the Phoenix Suns being the best team in the NBA.
Who can replicate that kind of squealy kind of
to do it?
Kind of like, the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA. Is that okay? Is that a good impression or no? No.
You didn't have to do an impression. You could have just done it in your own voice.
Oh my man. Oh, God. I love you, Espo.
My goodness.
Oh my God.
That's what we were doing. My bad. I thought you said to imitate it.
No, I just said you needed to fill in because Espo's not here to do it.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the notes on this. My bad.
Oh my God.
All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break because the NFL playoffs are here and DraftKings Sportsbook is kicking things off with a huge offer. So counting down to Super Bowl 56. New customers who sign up using the code PHNX can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team is victorious. So just your call to action and a reminder to you is to download the DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Use the promo code PHNX and you'll get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. When you bet $5, you're going to win $180 in free bets if your team wins. Just a disclaimer, that is 21 and older, Arizona only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Okay, so we're going to bring in Shane. Because Shane has made so much money off of live betting the third quarter during Suns games. So you need to break it down to us what you're doing and then give us like a pick of the week. Like, how can we get in on this action on Sunday?
Well, on Sunday, if you're awake and you have already eaten breakfast, or if you're making breakfast or at the breakfast table at 11 a.m., or if you're at brunch even, watch the Suns game. In the third quarter, they always take a big stinker. I don't know what it is. If they're up by 20, if they're down by 10, it doesn't matter. If the game's tied like it was tonight in the third quarter, you go over to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and there's live betting options for every NBA game updated, probably faster than Bally's has it. And you can, as soon as a team like the Pacers goes on a run, like Justin Holiday hitting threes, the second I saw him hit that three to go up three, I got them at -4.5 live at plus money, which means I bet $25 and won $38. And they, all they had to do was cover by 4.5, which was lower than their point spread at the start of the game. So basically what I do is I look for in the third quarter when they're getting a run on it against them, wait till they go down or the score shrinks, and then the fourth quarter Suns will come back as the actual team that the Phoenix Suns are. And I've done this multiple times and it's hit like 90% of the time. So on Sunday, go ahead and do that. And that is the DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week.
Nice. Nice job, Shane.
Thank you, Shane. Okay. We wanted to give you guys I wanted to give that knowledge out because I saw quite a few people in the chat today kind of mention, I don't remember who it was. Sorry if I can't scroll that far back, but somebody had a parlay that could have won them a lot of money, but it didn't hit tonight. So this is also kind of a fun, Mike B. He said he would have won $910 on a $35 bet, but his parlay just did not hit. But this is a really good way. Shane has been doing this all season long and he's been talking about it, but I just have never thought to bring that knowledge out to all of us. So finally it clicked, and there you go.
It's kind of sad because he's our producer and he's the host of the Betts show. You think we would have tapped that well at least once before?
You would assume.
Yeah. We all let the team down on that one.
We're just like the Suns. We're finding our midseason stride here.
That's right.
It's going to be better.
Right. That's right.
I'm not going to lie. So I didn't hear a single thing that you said. I was reading a comment. I'm sorry. But I feel like that was a really good time for me to tune you out, right?
No.
I know? No?
No.
Oh. Well, what did you say?
I just said I feel like we should have tapped that well once before, and we just didn't.
Oh, okay. With Shane. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. We should have absolutely tapped into that a long time ago. But hey, better late than never, right?
Okay. He's like, I don't know what just happened. I just can tell by your facial expression, Saul, that I'm glad I didn't hear what you just said.
I thought you were just giving me grief. It was a 50-50 shot. You giving me grief or not, you know?
This is true. Lindsay, listen, I'm the only one on the show that gives you grief about anything. So
this is true.
Somebody's got to make sure we're both humble.
Okay, fair. All right. So one thing I do want to talk about from tonight's game, Gerald, you were the king of taking notes on both Justin Holiday and Torrey Craig all game long.
Yeah.
You were tweeting it out. You were letting us all know what you were seeing, what was standing out to you. So give us the report. What did you see from those guys? And did it make you want the Suns to trade for them even more? How did it sway your opinion at all?
Yes, just reinforced everything that I already thought. And so now I'm taking it and running with it because, I mean, Pacers leading scorer tonight, the only guy on the floor who hit more threes than Devin Booker, who had six himself. Holiday, he had 25 points, shot 7 of 14 from three, a couple of them off the dribble. He had three blocks in his first 8 minutes on the court. Like, he was a very good two-way player for the Pacers tonight. And like, if you look at his season numbers, he only averages 28 minutes a game. He played 37 tonight. Torrey Craig, he only averages about 17 minutes per game. He had 25 minutes tonight. So I don't want to read too much into it because it's one game, but they got a lot more minutes than they normally get on the floor against a team that might be interested in their services. Mm-hmm. And they both showed out. Like, Torrey Craig, he only had 8 points or whatever, but he did hit two threes, which he doesn't really do very often for the Pacers. He hasn't done that like all season. So I mean, if that's not a flair, like, get us the hell out of Indy, I don't know what it is. It was an impressive performance from both of them, and you saw a lot of the things that they could do, maybe not in as many minutes, but in a limited role on a contender. Like, both of those guys showed out. So it was a win all around for the Suns tonight, really.
I'm on board with the Justin Holiday.
All right.
I'm on board Justin Holiday. I thought he's a nice player. He's a nice piece. And I can only imagine what he would do on a team like ours. I'm not wearing the Torrey Craig hat tonight, folks.
Oh, he took it off. I didn't even notice that either.
Yeah, you didn't notice it. Somebody else in the chat did notice it. Somebody in the chat did notice it. And it's because I have that ship has sailed. It was good for that 3 or 4 months last year, Torrey. We appreciate your contributions to this franchise, but it shall be no more, not from here on out. Torrey Craig, no longer.
Wow. R.I.P. Torrey Craig.
He's dead now.
He's dead now. He's dead to me.
Saul, at least.
He's dead to me.
Oh, but you're still like, you're good with the Justin Holiday if that move were to be made?
He's a nice player. He's a nice player. I would like a little bit more physicality from a guy that would come in. That's why, like a Serge Ibaka or a Nicholas Batum would be nice, because they're bigger guys. They can physically handle a switch of position and, you know, maybe be a little bit more versatile to guard some of the guys that you might have to bang with down low. But if you're going to go with a wing, Justin Holiday is a very good contributor from the wing, and I think you can't go wrong with him, especially when he shows you that he can hit the three. And he's versatile. You can take it to the basket. He's lengthy, and you know how the Suns love them some length. It's a nice addition. I wouldn't be mad at it.
All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
We're converting some people around here. I love it.
Listen, it's called growth, Gerald. When I realize that I might have been wrong before, I can grow and learn from it and move. you know.
That's awesome. Are you like subtweeting Gerald right now?
Sticks at the floor.
He totally was.
It's either me or it's Espo or it's both of us. Of course, sticks at the floor, so it's both of us. Damn. I'm going to just ignore that and be like, wow, subtle shot to Espo, and he's not even here.
Listen. God help you if Sticks ever has like a 6 3-point game opposite on the side, the same side as DA, and they hit that hit high low. Oh my God, Gerald, I don't give a shit if he ever plays in the Suns uniform again after that. I will let you have it for the rest of 2022.
Oh man, I'm at the point where like this dude could have a Hall of Fame career at the four, and I'd be like, but if they had played him at the five.
Yeah. Very true.
You just gotta stick to it, Gerald. I mean, it is what it is. It's okay.
I'm sticking to my guns.
This is why I don't pick sides, because I'm like, we gotta wait to see.
That's why. I don't like
I don't like the receipts game.
No one will ever have receipts on Lindsay because everything is just nice, neutral.
She even had to come all the way back to apologize and say, no. That doesn't mean I don't want DA to have his flowers. Like, nobody interpreted it that way except Lindsay.
You did? You were giving me grief about it.
No, I was just like,
I'm complex.
I know. That's not at all what happened. Oh my goodness. That's funny though.
Oh man.
All right. So we have two additional topics to get into. But before we do that, because they're kind of like around the game, but not specific to the Suns and Pacers game. So before we get into those, is there anything you guys would like to bring up about tonight's game that you'd like to highlight?
One minor thing, it was nice to see Campaign play a little bit well. We mentioned it very briefly, but 11 points, 5 assists, 5 of 7 shooting, team high plus 19. Like that way, it didn't come on until late in the game, but him and Landry Shamet were part of the reason they busted that wide open to start the fourth quarter. So that's really encouraging because we've talked a lot lately about his struggles and how infectious he is when he does have it going for this team. Everybody on this panel just wants this dude to succeed. Everybody that cheers for the Suns wants this dude to succeed. So hopefully he can also build on this momentum like Book and carry it forward, especially with the trade deadline coming up. Uh-oh, he saw the Jaren Jackson.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, not even going to talk about it. Just move along.
Do you have anything else from the game, Saul, you want to highlight?
DA is the greatest center in the NBA.
Oh boy.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, with that, we have some fun topics to get into now. So we are going to start with the Take Your Shot presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. So COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also not eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you. Our Take Your Shot moment of the night. Saul, what is it?
I love the fact that the Indiana Pacers and Devin Booker can have a sense of humor about what just happened in Toronto, because as you all probably saw across social media, the Pacers introduced the Suns and played the Jurassic Park theme song. That was fantastic. There was even a clip, I think we have it, I'm not sure if we have it or not, where Devin Booker first got fouled and he's going to the free throw line. And as he's going to the free throw line, he's calling for the mascot to get over there behind the basket. He's ready. Like, here's the shot. Devin Booker's like, oh. And Devin Booker understands the moment. He's calling for him right now.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, where's he at? Wait, oh, over there. Hey, hey, come on over here. Let's go. Let's move this. Hey, get your ass over here. Get behind the basket. Start waving your hands. Do whatever you got to do. But I'm ready. And I just love that from Devin Booker. You know, like, listen, I think in the moment, you know, you kind of get wrapped up into it. And the great thing about Devin is I think he's starting to understand, like, you know what, sometimes I do some stupid shit out there and it's all right. You know what I mean? I wonder if a little JaVale McGee's kind of rubbing off on him a little bit, you know, because JaVale does a lot of dumb things on the court and he doesn't care. He just moves right along. I think Devin, you know, he understood, like, he probably overreacted a little bit to the dinosaur and he just moved along. He's having fun with it. I thought, you know, you shared a clip with us, Lindsay, earlier, or I think Espo did, and I couldn't tell what was on their shirts because, you know, it was like a nosebleed view. I thought that Devin had a picture of, like, Barney on his shirt.
That, like, would have been even
I thought that was, like, the Raptor mascot or something like that. I was like, oh, my God, that's the best. but it wasn't. That would have been the only thing that would have been bet. So he took his shot. So did the Pacers. They all had fun with it. And that's what this all is all about. It's having fun.
And one more time, COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you. So the other thing about this kind of like shenanigans with Devin and the mascots. So we mentioned it in the pregame show. The Chicago Bulls already had a skit that they did at halftime that involved a T-Rex, but basically the Raptor. Now we've got the Indiana Pacers getting involved in it. There was also a video that came out. I think Devin saw the guy dressed up in the dinosaur costume pregame and was trying to get him to come over and like talk in air quotes, like talk to him. I don't know what the plan was. They're gonna have a little powwow. But he wouldn't, the dinosaur wouldn't go over near Book. And I don't know why. I would have loved to have seen that interaction and what would have unfolded.
I wonder if there was like some like protocol stuff going on right there. Like yeah, we could let you go, but we want to make sure that everybody stays safe, especially the players, because they got to play. You know what I mean? So
that's fair.
I don't know.
So let me see. What comment was it? Mike B said, yes, love that you hit on this, laughing my butt off. That's what I'm saying. The man is pissed, dude. I don't quite understand. Like, are you saying Devin's pissed about the goofiness, or I need some clarity on that one?
No, so I think low key what he means is that Devin is like, he can have fun with it, but there's probably a little part of like motivation, like to still like try to embarrass whoever's trying to make fun of him, if that makes sense. You know, it's very much the Michael Jordan and then, you know, I got upset or whatever.
I took that personally.
I took it personally. It's very much like, but that's what to me has taken Devin from this guy who was a budding star on the rise, but he just wasn't good enough quite to make an all-star game, or he was, but he had to get, you know, things had to break his way to, okay, I feel like we're going down the territory of legendary status, because there's a look that these guys have when they try to take over games, and Devin Booker has that look. Like tonight in the third quarter, when you see it, damn it if that didn't give me Kobe vibes, you know what I mean, or Jordan vibes. Like dudes just have that look like, dang, there is not a motherfucker out here that can stop me right now, period. And I love that about Devin. I fucking love that about Devin.
So you hit the nail on the head with what Mike B was going on. So I'm glad that you got that one, Saul. Thank you. Mike B, thank you for the clarification. But I mean, I love it. I love that he's leaning into it. He's trolling all the trolls back. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he should be doing in this situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice that he like followed up this whole stupid mascot thing with like one of the better performances he's had in the last few weeks. He was due for a bounce back game, but this is just kind of the nice little cherry on top, because you're right. Like he can be petty. Like he will take this stuff and internalize it and just be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to use it as fuel. I'm going to use it as motivation, and I'm going to shut the people up that are criticizing me even more. So it's the perfect balance of like, okay, I know this is funny. I'm going to run with the joke, but also like, fuck you. I'm going to drop 35 on you at the same time. It's great.
Yep.
He's like, while y'all out there tweeting, put a little respect in my name.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Exactly. It kind of worked out so perfectly too. Like, gosh, talk about just like icing on the cake that he's like been viral for the last 48 hours because of mascot beef. And then in the midst of still being viral, this is the type of game he has. Like chef's kiss to him for being able to like bring this all together and just create the perfect thing.
I wonder, I am fascinated to see what next week's All-Star numbers come back as, because this obviously came right in the wind of, you know, the double voting day and all this other stuff. Like, I'd be very curious to see how many people were like, dude, that shit's some funny shit. And they just retweeted it. And, you know, who knows? Because Russell Westbrook, really, people? Come on, man.
Yeah. Vince in the chat brought that up too. They said, how did Westbrook get more all-star votes than CP3? Laker fans don't even want to watch him on their own team. Yikes.
We don't know, Vince. We ranted and raved about it yesterday or the other day, too. It was it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. They don't want him on their team. It's literally just a numbers game because there's a shit ton of people in California. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah.
The only thing Booker could do right now, in my opinion, to make this even better is if the next time they play the Nuggets in Denver, he actually like kicked Rocky in the balls and like body slammed him like Charles Barkley did. Like Charles Barkley did that several, you know, when he was playing for the Suns. And that would just be like a nice little, you know,
like straight WWE style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on stilts and he kicked him, I think, in the nuts and you know, fell over. It was funny. Oh,
that's
it was
fantastic.
All in good fun.
All right. Hey, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I saw a comment. K-pop stands were part of Wiggins' boost. I'm going to need the story on that because I am not.
Man. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
That does make a lot of sense.
But I don't have the connection, but if K-pop stands get behind anybody, it's game over.
We need to be tapping into that market.
Right?
We absolutely do need to be
All right, let's go.
So it's this guy named Bam Bam. He's a K-pop star, and he gave him a boost. So they retweet everything they do, so I'm assuming that's what it was.
That's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
Well, we need to... No shade to your girl, Saul, but maybe what we need to do is instead of a Kendall Jenner
Don't
tweet,
you
we need to
dare this just Kendall.
Sweet I didn't baby, say baby anything Kendall. Mean. I'm just saying maybe we need to put our focus towards a K-pop star tweeting next instead of a second Kendall tweet. Maybe that would be the what does it for us.
Maybe we should.
Chess, not checkers. We've been playing the wrong game.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta change our approach right now.
I've been sitting here fucking around with bingo. These guys are playing chess.
All right, gentlemen, our final topic of the night. So during the pregame show, Hello asked us in the comments, what are we going to fight about tonight? And I said, I don't know, Hello. You tell us what's been grinding your gears lately. And they chimed in at the very beginning of the stream and said, all right, you asked me what to fight about. I'll take it from your Twitter. Who's better at passing and overall, Chris Paul or Steve Nash? Now, this came from a tweet that we shared from the PHNX_Suns account on Twitter that was like, design your ideal player, is what I think. So what do you guys think? Who's better at passing and overall, Chris Paul or Steve Nash?
I am going to say without any hesitation that Steve Nash is a better passer. But Chris Paul is the better overall player. And the reason why Chris Paul is the better overall player is because he can score and he understands that he should score when needed. Steve Nash struggled with that when he was with the Suns, and that's part of the reason why he regrets not being a little bit more assertive offensively to get them to an NBA Finals. And number two, Chris Paul plays defense, and he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. Like, so... for those two reasons, Chris Paul overall is the better player, but Steve Nash, man, he had some tasty dimes and he made a lot of dudes a lot of money. Chris Paul's made a lot of dudes a lot of money too, but Steve, man, he was just different with the passing. I loved it. So Steve.
Yeah. I think when it comes to, when you talk about passing and when you talk about being a point guard, like we're splitting hairs here either way, because they're both two of the all-time best to do it. I would say that Steve Nash just strictly passing is probably, I'd give him the edge. But I think in terms of just being a point guard and the way that a man runs the offense and controls, like Chris Paul dictates the entire tempo of the game. It's not just like throwing a nice pass, but he controls the whole flow of the game. Unlike pretty much any point guard outside of Magic Johnson, I feel like. So I would say that, I mean, Chris Paul definitely the better overall player just because, like Saul said, he plays both ends of the court, and Steve Nash was not the greatest defender. But I think passing might be that only passing and shooting are the only areas where I'd give Nash the edge. I'd say just in terms of all around being a point guard and better player, I'd take Chris Paul.
Who do you think is the best passer of all time outside of Magic Johnson? This is an interesting test for Gerald because you can go a myriad of different ways
and
how you explain who is the best passer. Who do you think is the best passer of all time?
That's a tough one. That's a very tough one. I mean, because Magic was the first person that came to my mind when you started talking, and then you said, except Magic. And I was like, fuck. Because it is. It's Magic, and then everybody else is a distant second. Like John Stockton comes to mind, but he just had a shit ton of assists because he played for with Karl Malone for forever. Yeah. Like I would actually maybe in terms of just passing ability, I might give the edge to someone like LeBron, Steve Nash, Chris Paul. Those would be the guys that come to mind for me.
Hello, is like say LeBron James.
Chat right now is so funny.
Honestly, like to me, like I'm going from a purely entertainment standpoint because when I go watch guys pass, like, damn it, you better do some shit I've never seen before because I don't want to just see a nice little bounce pass for a layup. You know what I mean? And for me, Pistol Pete was pretty cool. Man, my guy, White Chocolate, baby, Jason Williams. Man, he had some of the sickest passes you've ever seen in your life. You would literally go watch him play just so you could see him pass. That's how good he was. Like, and that, and because of that, that was very Magic-esque, right? Magic made you want to pay attention to the assist now because he was just like, you know, the no looks and stuff like that. And so Jason Williams, you know, the behind the back off the elbow, and you're just like, oh my God, what? You know, it just,
oh yeah,
beautiful. I loved watching him. It was so much fun to watch that guy. But it was interesting.
In terms of his peak, like the flashy passes, like, Jason Williams, like you can't really go wrong with that pick. He was amazing. Like, I really wish his career had lasted longer than it did.
Yeah. He plays wreck ball now.
And he looks like a wrecking ball now. Did you see that dude? He was so buff. It was insane.
Yeah. He's like Mike Bibby all over again. Maybe it's something about Sacramento former point guards. He's just getting yoked up all of a sudden. Anyway,
same plan. I don't think, I'm sorry if that didn't live up to your expectations because there was literally zero fight there. I think everyone was pretty much in agreement on that one.
It was a pretty easy decision.
It was a good little conversation for sure.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy decision. Now, if you ask me if a hot dog is a sandwich, we might fight, but you know,
oh man,
that's for another
day. We'll save that for another day. But hey, did you guys see that JaVale McGee pass tonight?
Oh, yeah,
that was Chris Paul-esque, Steve Nash-esque. I was like, oh, hello,
I was like, EJ, I thought he passed away too late, and all of a sudden, campaign easy layup. I was like, what just happened? That was nice.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, love to see it for sure. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining me for these Friday night VIP lounge hang. Before we sign off, is there anything else you want to say?
A couple things real quick. Obviously, big weekend. We got a lot of Suns games coming up on Sunday, Monday. You also got the Cardinals, which we do not want to forget. Tomorrow night, the Phoenix Cardinals show, the PHNX Cardinals show, I should say, is going to have Jordan Hicks on. He was supposed to come on tonight. Last minute change. Things kind of got a little haywire, but he's guaranteed coming on tomorrow. So check it out at 6 o'clock on their show. And Gerald's been writing some dope shit on our website. Please check out gophnx.com because there's a lot of great stuff going on. We have membership deals too. If you're not a member, become a member. We got buy one, get one for Cardinals merch. Next week, we got some Suns stuff coming up. So yeah, join the party.
Yeah, if you become a member, you get either a free t-shirt from the PHNX locker or your first month for just 50 cents. So some really good deals. And like Saul said, you get member only deals and discounts like the buy one, get one free. Is that what you said? Buy one, get one free t-shirts right now?
Buy one, get one 50% off.
Buy one, get one 50% off t-shirts. So you could grab one for free when you sign up from a membership. You could buy another one and then get another one for 50% off. And you basically got your whole team wardrobe. You're ready to rock and roll. And like Saul said, Gerald writes really great content. So that's the icing on the cake, but you definitely get to read all of Gerald's amazing content. Gerald, chat, are we making you blush?
The chat.
Did I do the crazy face again? Oh, no.
What'd the chat say?
They're just going out. They're like, is the taco a sandwich? Are pancakes dessert? Is a tamale kind of a burrito? Like, Jesus, no.
These are great questions. We need to write them down before the night is over and we'll have all of these conversations one day. Oh my gosh, man. That's amazing.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in once again. Friday Night Hoops wraps up with the Phoenix Suns grabbing the W over the Indiana Pacers, 112-94. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. We really appreciate your support. Until next time.
Ma! Meatloaf! Let's go! Let's go! Have a good night, y'all.
we're just going to call it on that one. We'll see you guys on Sunday.